Welcome to the DB Media Podcast. I'm Brian, that's Dylan, and we have some really good movies to be reviewing this time. So,
we have two good movies to be reviewing this time.
All right. This episode's already starting off bad. Yeah. All right. But before we get into the movie reviews, we got Gladiator 1, 2, Red 1, Thanksgiving, and Monkey Man. But before we get into them, we're gonna always start with movie news. First little bit I got here, Mortal Kombat, the sequel, is getting a R rating and a release date for the 24th of October.
I don't see why you would make a Mortal Kombat movie with any other rating.
I mean, I'm just saying it's officially an R rating now.
So they needed to make it official that it was something that it was, should have been?
Borderlands should have been rated R too, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but that was Borderlands.
All right, well, anyway, it's getting an R rating. Did you like the first one?
Yeah, I really liked the first one. The only thing I didn't like about the first one was they had to have that mark to have powers.
I agree. That was my only problem with the first one.
Yeah.
That, and I didn't like the main character that much. Like, I don't know why they couldn't just make it based on Liu Kang again or something like that, but it has pros and cons, but we'll debate that or another time.
Yeah, we can rate it later.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it when the second one comes out.
Yeah, exactly. And we also have Moana 2 debuts at $135 million, according to IMDb.
Yep. We're going to be taking the boys to that tomorrow.
Yep, we'll be reviewing that one next week. And I'm kind of looking forward to that. I like Moana.
Yeah, my kids love it.
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces of it with my son, but I've never watched the first one fully, but I enjoy it. Michael Mann is writing the script for Heat 2.
Is that the Melissa McCarthy movie?
This one with Rob De Niro and Al Pacino by the bank robbers, Heat.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you've never seen Heat?
Yeah, no, I know.
Brother. And we also got a first look at Charlie Hunnam as Ed Gein for Monsters Season 3.
Yeah, I've seen those. They matched him up pretty good.
They really did. I was not expecting Charlie Hunnam to be a good Ed Gein, but...
Yeah. It's about time Ed Gein got his own thing.
That's true. Only thing he's ever gotten was terrible. He got one movie that I know of, and it was god-awful.
Yeah.
It had Kane Hodder playing Ed Gein.
Ed Gein was like a scrawny little man.
Yep, I know. So, that's all for movie news, unless you got something you want to add to it.
No, I'm good.
Okay. So, first movie we're going to be reviewing is probably the one that we can collectively agree is the worst one that we'll be reviewing.
Yeah.
Monkey Man. Before we review it, give me your rating.
2 out of 5.
Same, 2 out of 5. What'd you think about this movie? Go ahead and tell me.
It really drags. It was so hard for me to just keep my eyes on the screen.
I agree.
The only thing that I really liked about this movie was the action scenes. Everything else about this movie, the movie has really good bones, but they didn't take enough out on the cutting room floor.
I agree. The thing is, I can see the love in this movie. This movie has a lot of backstory. Dave Patel, he gave himself infections and broke bones to get this movie made. And you can really tell it's a labor of love from him. You can tell he was very, very invested in making this movie. But I agree with everything you said. It fell flat. It was boring at times. It drug. You got 30 minutes of action. 30 minutes in the movie, I didn't know what it was about. And then you got a big action sequence with a car chase and police chase. And then another hour of just dragging where they're healing him and he's trying to find his inner peace or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he had another big long action scene at the end. It tried to be John Wick and...
Yeah, no.
I will say this, the language, the switching between English and Hindi, I think is what it was.
Hindu.
I thought it was Hindi. My bad. Hindu. The switching between English and Hindu didn't bother me. There's a lot of subtitle reading in this, but... I watch a lot of foreign horror, so I had to read subtitles for that.
Yeah, no, it's based in India. No problem with that. It was just the story itself.
I just saw some complaints online about how it wasn't compliant.
Oh.
Yeah, people complaining about always having to read a movie or something like that. And
yeah.
I think it also has a good backstory with Jordan Peele. I will say this. Jordan Peele is one of my favorite directors and producers to date. He has produced banger after banger. This is the only property that he's associated with that I don't like. And I will go say, as much as say I don't like Nope that he produced or he directed, but it's not because it was a bad movie. It's a great movie. I just don't like aliens.
Yeah.
I'm not an alien guy. But, I mean, I didn't know that. I was diving into this, I was looking at Jordan Peele's like producing credits. He also produced Candyman. He produced the comedy Keanu, The Black Klansman, about the black guy who joined the KKK.
Yeah.
Like, so, I don't know. I love Jordan Peele. I was very disappointed. I had high hopes when I saw his name associated with it, but I was very disappointed.
I went into this movie completely ready to love this movie.
Oh, yeah. It looked amazing. Like we were both talking about it whenever you suggested it, how much I was looking forward to, how much you was looking forward to.
Yeah.
It was a great disappointment.
Yeah.
Like I said, 30 minutes in, I didn't know what it was about. I will say this. The character has an interesting backstory.
He does. It is an interesting backstory in, like, the story itself could have been good. It's just what brings this movie down so low is just how much it drags.
I agree. Like, there's so much, like, they could have, like you said, they could have cut a lot of it out.
Yeah.
Like, the scenes in the wrestling ring were fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed those a lot.
Yeah, is it like...
That's the only reason it's not a half a star for me, is those scenes.
Yeah, the only reason it's not completely zero stars for me is because the last fight scene where, like, he just completely messes everybody up after he gets done healing and everything.
Yeah.
But that is something else that bothered me. Like, it just showed him hitting a heavy bag. It didn't show him working on technique or nothing like that.
And then he comes in and just is a master at combat.
Like, yeah.
I did have this criticism, though. In the scene in the nightclub where he pulls a gun on the guy, you would think, like, so the guy gets the best of him. They get into, like, a close quarter fight. You would think him getting his butt whooped every night in the ring, he would have a little bit of an inkling of how to fight. Like, even a little bit.
Yeah, he doesn't really win any fights until...
I think he was throwing him on purpose, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Because I thought that was his thing, he threw him on purpose.
No.
Oh, I thought he did.
He just gets his ass whooped a lot.
He does get, yeah. Dave Patel's great in this role.
Yeah, no. Dave Patel is, like, he's a great actor, yeah. Really good. It's just this movie just really dragged.
I agree. I don't know. Like, the club scene, I will say this, the club scenes were beautifully shot.
Yeah.
Like, with the music playing in the background, the fights, there's some fight scenes that go with the music. And it's really good. And I love the symmetry and the symbolism in this because, like, there's a symbol where every time he's in a dangerous situation, he comes faced with a child that's in the situation with him. Like, and I think this was like representing, like, the child he was whenever his village was burnt down or whatever. Because, like, in the car chase scene, like, the kid runs out in front of him, he stops the car and it causes him to crash. And then in the brothel fight, the kid is under the seat and, like, or under the bed and while they're fighting and in harm's way. Again, I think it's supposed to symbolize, like, him being a kid and that's in danger situations too.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed that. I enjoy symbols in movies like that, like metaphors. I really love that. I didn't enjoy the slow start. It was crazy how the action just halted in this movie. It felt like a different movie.
Yeah.
Like the action picked up and you thought it was going to be a John Wick-style action-packed movie, and then it halts. And it's like, did I change the channel? Like, what happened? I don't know. I did find it really funny whenever they were in the chase scene and he runs into the window.
Yeah. Really, he's like,
he's bounced up. That was really funny. This movie does good at losing you and then pulling you back in. Like, making you not care about it. Like, I adjusted my rating all through the movie. But, yeah. There was a really interesting kill in this movie where he's fighting the guy and he pushes the knife in with his teeth.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really cool kill scene. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
The story that I read about this was that Netflix had bought the rights to this movie, and they had said they were not going to release it. They were actually just going to shelf it. and Jordan Peele had read about it or read the script or something like, or watched it or something along those lines, bought the rights to it because he has a deal with Netflix, and he produced it, or he released it. So that's awesome. I mean, good for them. And I see all the positive, like, people liking that, this movie.
Like, this movie was worth being released.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I would be interested in a sequel.
I'd watch a sequel.
Yeah, I would definitely watch a sequel. It's just, I would hope that this one does not drag. Or, Dev Patel wrote it, right?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, he just takes some directing advice or something like that to where this movie does not drag as much as the first one did.
Yeah, I agree. I'd be totally interested in a sequel. I will say this, too. The movie doesn't know what it wants to be. It doesn't know if it wants to be an action thriller or a political, like, movie. Like, there's a lot of heavy political themes in this movie, and it doesn't know if it wants to touch on that or just be an action-packed movie, and I think you have to lean in one direction for it to be a good movie.
Yeah.
Very rarely can a movie cover multiple themes like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, 2 out of 5, unless you want to say something else. I think we're done, Monkey Man.
Yeah, I'm done with it.
I will say this, too, as well. I don't like how it just abruptly ends. Like, there's no satisfying ending, really. Just in the middle of a fight, he kills the Bane, like, bad guy. Credits roll. Like, yep. He gets, like, a little flashback of him with his mom. Credits roll. That's it. So, yeah. All right, moving on to our next movie. This one is my favorite, personally, out of all the ones we're reviewing. I absolutely love this movie. I think I have it ranked as my number 7 horror movie of all time. I don't call me on that. It's on my Letterbox if you want to go check it out. It's my number 7 or number 6. Thanksgiving. We swapped this one out.
This is your 7th favorite horror movie?
I love this movie so much.
7th favorite horror movie?
7th favorite horror movie. Don't quote me on that. It could be number 6.
Oh, my God. This is such a terrible horror movie.
It's such a good horror movie. I'm interested.
There's so many other horror movies you could have just... That could have taken this spot.
None as good as this one.
Okay.
What horror movie would you put above this one? Any of them?
Any of them?
Okay. We did swap this. We were going to review Six Underground, but we swapped that this week for this movie. And the only reason for that is because I feel like it went with the Thanksgiving holiday this week.
Yeah.
So...
And Michael Bay is a terrible director.
Listen, I'm only giving you Michael Bay movies from now on.
Okay.
Until we review every single bit of his work.
Okay, and I'm just going to suggest Monkey Man every week.
I'll rewatch Monkey Man.
Yeah.
Just kidding, I'll say I rewatch Monkey Man. All right, anyway. What is your rating for Thanksgiving?
2 out of 5.
You're a bad person.
You're a bad person.
You're a terrible human being. 2 out of 5. All
right. I think you just, like, you're wrong. I think you know you're wrong, and you're just ready to die on this hill for some reason.
No, I'm not. I enjoy this movie. I enjoyed the absolute hell out of this movie.
Okay, so as soon as first scene, Patrick Dempsey walks in and he makes eye contact with that guy's wife. I was like, oh, they're screwing. He's in on this murder.
You did not call.
I swear on everything that I called that as soon as I seen it.
You did not call that he's the killer. I don't care who you are. You did not know he's the killer.
I will say that from the beginning, I was like, Patrick Dempsey's involved with this. But throughout the movie, I was either like, all right, if he's not by himself, there's other people in on it. He's definitely in on all these murders. Now, there's a couple times within this movie that I was like, oh, okay, so I bet this is a big group of people since there's these masks that everybody's wearing.
I will say I thought it was multiple killers.
Yeah.
I thought it was multiple killers.
One thing I knew for certain throughout the entire movie was that Patrick Dempsey was in on it.
You didn't. I don't think you.
I am 100% certain, being truthful, I knew from the get-go that Patrick Dempsey was in on it.
Okay, whatever. I really like how in the beginning it foreshadows that he's going to cook this woman alive. Yeah, like, I don't know if you picked it up in the beginning, where he's walking in with to their Thanksgiving dinner. He says, "I'm really good with an oven." Like, and then in the end, he like cooks the woman alive.
Oh, yeah.
That was really funny. Do you know that this movie was made from a fake trailer?
What?
This movie was made from a fake trailer. So what happened was Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez, I butchered that, made Grindhouse, which they'd release a double feature called Planet Terror and Death Proof. And when they released this double feature, they had like fake trailers in it. And Thanksgiving was one of the fake trailers that Eli Roth had put out. And the fake trailer had gained so much traction. Now it's a real
movie. No wonder it was such a terrible movie. It was a movie within a movie. That makes it terrible.
I hate you. This was made by the same guy who made Borderlands.
It just goes on to further prove my point.
I'm just
like, you're trying to get a point across to me. I don't even know why you would have brought that up.
I'm reporting the facts. The kills are great. The kills are awesome in this movie. You cannot tell me they're not awesome.
They're okay.
What's the trampoline scene was awesome. The parade.
The trampoline scene where he just stabs her in the feet? He
stabs her in the feet and then she keeps bouncing on the knife.
Oh, man, my feet are getting stabbed.
She got stabbed in the back and in the breastises. Like.
Yeah, that was also kind of stupid because why not just get off the trampoline immediately?
She fell on the knife.
Yeah, she. First time I bounce on a knife, I'm like, oh, God, hop it on one foot to get off to see what's wrong.
Fair. And the parade float kill. That was cool.
Okay, I will admit that the parade float kill surprised me and just came out of nowhere.
And the kids in the front seat, Grandpa, Grandpa. Yeah,
I'm talking about the turkey getting its head cut.
Oh, I was talking about the float going through the guy's head.
Oh, no, I kind of seen that one coming.
I didn't see that one coming, but I thought that was a really good kill. The turkey one was just out of nowhere.
I don't know why, but whenever I see something on the back of a truck with a back window, I immediately think that's going through. Like, I think every time that's going right straight through that guy's face.
The saw table kill was good, where he throws her on the saw table. That was a good kill. The kill where, during the Black Friday sales.
That was another thing. That was kind of stupid. Like, you run your hand through a saw blade, it's not going to go, it's going to go,
yep.
Like that. And you're not just going to, oh no. Oh,
and she just laid on it, yeah.
So that was not a good kill. That was stupid.
I thought it was a good kill. And then the kill where, during the Black Friday shopping, like they break through the door and the guy immediately gets his throat cut with the glass on the door.
So that is something that I wanted to bring up. Like, you see this movie and you think a riot during Black Friday. Like, okay, that's one of the unbelievable things that's true. Because,
right.
Like, I don't think it's as true as now as it used to be because of online shopping. But I remember growing up and just hearing all the time, that woman maced that 3-year-old baby over Tickle Me Elmo.
I remember hearing stories like, did you know a woman brought a taser like one time like in our area?
Yeah.
Like, to the mall down here, like, during Black Friday and tase like 6 people to get a TV.
Could you imagine just being like just shopping and oh my god, 90% of
just falling over, the woman picks your TV up. And that happened at this mall down here. Dude. Yeah, that's wild. But that is the most realistic.
The most realistic part about this movie.
Yeah.
Sad but true.
The woman just gets her head like smacked with the grocery cart.
Yeah, I remember as a kid hearing every year 15 trampled in Black Friday shopping event. Like, what?
How does that happen? That's
like you can still find the videos and everything
on YouTube. Like, yeah,
yeah.
The killer's awesome. The killer has a great motive. Like, most killers have stupid motives. This killer has a great motive. He lost a child in this. Like,
yeah, but I don't see why he placed all of the blame on the teenagers that was in the store.
That, I mean, because they taunted everybody and pissed everyone off.
That is true, but I felt like that was bound, like, anything could have set them off.
That is what I have noted here, is, like, there's a lot of people to blame here.
Yeah.
He's going to kill them all? Like, he's going to kill the town?
Yeah. And I'm not saying whether this is a bad or good part of the movie, but it did crack me up. The one of the waitress that got killed is like, this isn't the mark. You have to wait around here. Like, yeah. He was first in line.
Yeah, like, that was hilarious. Like, it's like, we're ready to order now. It's like, this is not right, Mark. You have to actually wait your turn here. It's like, yeah. Good Lord.
You was like the first person in.
Do you know how fast I would have got rude with that waitress? But like, she was just like, she just sat back in her seat like this. I'd have got thrown out of there. Like, that was funny. The guy who has like the waffle iron, like the guy who got his neck cut from the door, he still grabs his waffle iron,
yeah,
and like falls over with it, and somebody comes over and grabs it off his dead body. That's the funniest thing.
Okay, so a scene that I wanted to bring up was they're just walking in the hallway, and then one of them pulls out their phone and goes, "He tagged us in another post." And then the other one pulls out their phone, immediately goes to the first post he made, and just immediately zooms in on the name cards, and it's like, these are our names on the name cards. Like, you did not see that the first time.
That is what I will give you that. That was a dumb part of the movie, and I will give you that.
That was so stupid.
Like, you didn't see your name the first. Now, I will give you that, but that's the only thing I'm giving you about this. Like,
no, that I don't like. If you want to make a death scene gory as can be, that's fine. But don't sit there and like slowly kill people with power tools and stuff when I know that this stuff is going to go run right through them.
Right. Like the turkey carver and stuff?
Yeah.
I really like the friend group. I really like the characters. I think they gave the characters enough depth to make us like them.
I thought they was all terrible actors.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't think any of them. I'm not saying, I won't say that they acted terribly. I will just say that they could have found better people.
I think the only bad one would probably be the Yulia girl.
I don't know who that is.
The one who was dropped on the saw table.
Oh, yeah.
I think she might have been the only bad one. I think the rest were great. The the girl who played the final girl, like the main character, she's fantastic.
I honestly thought she was the worst one.
I think you say things just to piss me off. But
no, you're just so simple minded. You can't wrap your mind around certain things.
Shut up.
So you just get angry like a dumb ape lash out.
Said the one who threw a pop can at me last week.
It'll get a lot worse.
Put it away. We're not reviewing Gladiator yet.
I have the sword. You don't tell me what to do.
You right. Now it's just there for the rest of the podcast?
Yeah. All right, so.
But I will say that the freezer door scene where he, like, puts the girl's face in water and puts it on the door, that was a really cool scene.
Okay, that much skin is not ripping off from that. Me and you both worked in a restaurant.
Yeah.
I worked at a grocery store with a way colder freezer than that, and that wouldn't have happened.
Fair. It's still a good kill, though. I enjoyed the practical effects. Not all the kills were practical, but a lot of them were practical, and I enjoyed that. I don't like CGI. But Eli Roth, for me, I love Eli Roth. I love, like, all the stuff he's done. Like, have you seen Hostel?
Yeah, I like the first one. The rest of them I didn't care for.
Eli Roth is pretty good for me. I really like him. Again, I even liked his Borderlands. But I gave this a 5 out of 5.
A 2 out of 5.
One of my all-time favorite horror movies, and it will forever be one of my all-time favorite horror movies. I think there was a second killer. I do want to say that. I do think there was a second killer. I think because it is getting a sequel. Thanksgiving is getting a sequel. Thank you, God, it's getting a sequel. But I think that there was two killers, and that's how the sequel's going to go.
Yeah, I thought the whole time that there's going to be multiple people.
Yeah. I'm all for it. I think the death for the killer was great. And they set it up for a sequel because, like, they said they couldn't find his body at the end. They said everything was incinerated. I think he's not dead.
Yeah. All right. So, you ready to move on?
Yeah, we're ready to move on. I think we're done with that one. It's 2 out of 5, 5 out of 5. Absolutely love this movie. All right, so introduce our next movie.
Red One.
So,
would you rate it?
Red One's a 4 out of 5 for me.
All right, I got 3 out of 5.
Spoiler free first.
Spoiler free.
Because this is a new movie. Just give a spoiler free review.
I gave it a 3 out of 5. It's not really a terrible movie. Like, I enjoyed it. Like, there's a good couple of good aspects in this movie. Nick Kroll, he's funny in it.
Who's that?
Huh?
Nick Kroll?
He's the guy who makes Big Mouth.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I know his name.
I'm pretty sure that's his name.
He's really good in this movie.
Yeah, he's pretty funny in this movie. It's a fun Christmas movie. I could see myself watching this like every year, but this is not some like only during Christmas time. I would not. There's not a lot. There's no way I'd watch this before any other season.
I agree. No, I agree. I think it's a fun Christmas movie that I will probably watch from now on every year. It's definitely going to be a Christmas classic for me. I enjoyed everything. The story was great. I'll give a little rundown of the movie, too.
Yeah, I also thought it was a neat twist on how Santa Claus worked.
Yes, yeah. So the movie is about, like, I'm just telling what's in the trailer.
Yeah.
Like, Santa Claus gets kidnapped, and The Rock plays his head of security, and he has to try to find Santa Claus with the help of Chris Evans, who is, like, this internet hacker guy.
Yeah, and level 4 naughty lister.
Level 4 naughty lister, but it was really great. Like, the acting was great, the story was great, the cinematography was great. It was a beautifully shot movie. I enjoyed it all around. I almost rated it a 4.5, but I gave it 4 because, like you said, it does lose a star for me because I can't see myself watching it any other time than Christmas.
Yeah. I'm just not big on Christmas movies.
Yeah,
myself.
I know. I love Christmas movies, though. Like,
I'm not really big on most holiday movies.
I know, yeah. I am. I love holiday
movies. So, you ready to get into spoilers for
this? Yes. Spoilers ahead for Red One. This is your final warning. Spoilers.
All right.
Go for it, brother.
So, my all-time... Like, watching the movie, like... I'm not going to lie, I was kind of bored watching the movie until Nick Kroll showed up.
Really?
Yeah.
I enjoyed it from the get-go.
I'm not going to say it was terrible. It was definitely interesting.
Right.
But it didn't really make me feel anything specific. I was interested in the story.
Right.
That's about it. I didn't really laugh until Nick Kroll showed up. But the funniest part... Funny. But the funniest part about this entire movie to me was Krampus Schlapp.
That was the best. I loved Krampus.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they made Krampus Santa Claus's brother.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. So they go to Krampus to... they find out that a witch has kidnapped Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And the witch had dated Krampus, and Krampus is Santa Claus's brother. So they go to Krampus's, like, castle to see if he's in on it. And Chris Evans is a, like, thief, and he immediately steals some gold and is sent to the dungeon. And then they brought out to confront Krampus, and he's playing basically like slap boxing. Like,
they just take turns slapping each other.
Yeah, like you see on YouTube and stuff, like, them big guys slapping each other. But, and he's not even, like, phased. Like, nobody can even move his face. Like,
yeah.
And basically they cut a deal that if The Rock can beat him, that he will set them free.
Yeah.
And The Rock smacks him, and it just moves his head, and he just looks back and says, "Interesting." And he puts his hand on The Rock's head, and he says, "Oh, my God. Oh, my God."
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it just wrapped around his whole head.
And he just said, I just look at close eyes and says, "Oh, my God." And that was really funny.
The Rock had this special tool that made him stronger, but Krampus had taken it. And then Chris Evans, when he went to go do his second slap, he just slapped it on him. He just...
And just knocked Krampus, like, down
there. Yeah. But that wasn't the funniest part to me, was when they is both trying to escape, and the Rock just smacked somebody else like across the room, and they had like the funniest scream. I can't even replicate it. Like
that was. And I love how he like put the Rock was talking robots down and made them bigger, and he was like, "Cover us." Yeah, like, that was fun. The whole Toy Store aspect, where toy stores are like portals to the North Pole, and he can turn anything into a toy store like real.
Yeah,
that was a really cool aspect. My only issue with that movie is I wish they would have touched more on it.
I honestly think that The Rock just did not want Chris Evans to have a Wonder Woman.
I think he did too. Yeah,
because like he said, it doesn't work like that. But he literally just turned a rubber chicken into a real chicken.
I think it does work like that. This movie's just PG-13.
Yeah.
Now, I wish they would have touched more on that, because we only see him like do that with like three things. If he would have used that ability more, I think it'd have been. The movie would have benefited from that. But I think it also would have benefited from more of the lore being explored.
Yeah.
Because it touches on like the Headless Horseman. Because like it's shown in the movie that Santa Claus is not the only mythical creature that is real. Like it shows the Headless Horseman.
Yeah.
I wish they would have touched a little
more. This isn't really the first Christmas movie to do that.
Right.
Like there's multiple Christmas movies like where Santa Claus exists, and like especially if it's about Santa Claus, like you'll hear him talking to like other holiday mascots and stuff like that. Like
right.
That's a constant thing in holiday movies.
I would like to see a sequel. I know we won't get one.
No.
But I would like to see a sequel to it, because I would like to see one like themed around like maybe Halloween or something. Or themed around other holidays. Like, I know The Rock is, like, the North Pole guy. He's for Santa Claus. But I'd like to see one themed around other holidays. That'd be fun.
I would be down for another holiday movie, but it's a spinoff.
Yeah.
Spinoff of this.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, maybe Easter or something.
I'd like to see a Halloween one. Yeah. J.K. Simmons as Santa Claus. I think that was a good cast. He makes a really good Santa Claus.
For what they wanted the Santa Claus to be, yeah.
I thought it was great. And how the North Pole is basically the White House.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
But this movie flopped hard.
I know. Okay, so give us the numbers, because I know I read about it, so, but you have it wrote down.
$250 million budget. $32 million made back.
God, yeah. We ain't seeing it.
It's opening weekend.
We are not seeing a sequel to this bad boy. I also saw where The Rock compared it to Oppenheimer.
Yeah, no, that's just ridiculous.
He had seen the report that I was reading said he saw Oppenheimer in IMAX, I think, and he said, "Wow, if Red One got this treatment, it would be just as big."
No.
Yeah, that's.
He does that with a lot of his properties, though.
The Rock's kind of getting ridiculous.
I'm honestly like,
I love The Rock.
The Rock. He's just not successful anymore unless Kevin Hart's attached to it.
That's true. All his moves are either flopping or they're the same thing. They're carbon copies of each one.
Yeah, no. Literally, the only thing that changes... Like, if they want a Rock movie to be successful, put Kevin Hart in it.
Yep, I agree. Don't get me wrong. I love The Rock. Any movie he's in, I'm going to watch. I think he's awesome. But he is getting a little, like, ridiculous. Like,
he's getting like Vin Diesel.
Like, what do you mean?
Vin Diesel's, like, same tough guy in every movie.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's true.
That's why he's only in Fast and Furious now.
That, you know, there's a whole feud. There was a whole feud going on between him and Vin Diesel.
Yeah, I know about that. But, yeah. Like, maybe that's why, you know, maybe that's why they argued so much, is because they're so much alike.
Do you know the funniest thing? Again, this is all I read online, so I could be wrong, but I did read this online, that he had promised he was never coming back to Fast and Furious. He was never going to come back to the movies, and then he tried to be, like, the savior of the DCEU with Black Adam. Like, he thought Black Adam was going to be, like, this world-changing for the DCEU. And then... It flopped hard.
Yeah, he's...
And then he went back to Fast and Furious. He's at the end of Fast X.
I think all his movies just... Here... since what was the last Jumanji movie, I don't think he's made a single successful movie.
I
could be wrong about that. Like,
no, I agree. I think you're right. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
No. It depends on whether Central Intelligence came out before or after the second one.
I love Central Intelligence.
That's a great movie. I loved it, too.
Fantastic. But Kevin Hart is the reason.
Kevin Hart's in it. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you got to attach Kevin Hart to it.
Again,
I think he's trying to make too many, like, he can't make a comedy movie by himself.
I don't think he can either. He has to have another comedic actor with him. Again, I'm not trashing The Rock, but he's an action star. He is not a comedic actor unless he has another comedic actor with him.
Yeah.
Like, he's funny, but he's not that guy. Yeah. You're not that guy, pal.
Yeah.
Like, so, 4 out of 5 for me.
3 out of 5.
Good movie. And again, I'm going to watch it probably every Christmas. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought. I was going to say something about The Rock. I completely lost my train of thought. Never mind.
Okay.
I'm good with this one unless you want to say something else.
No, I'm good with it.
All right. Moving on to, I think, will be your highlight of this, will be the Gladiator movies.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely loved both of these movies.
So,
5 out of 5 on 1 and 2.
Okay. I gave 4 out of 5 for 1, or 4.5 out of 5 for 1, and 4 out of 5 for 2. Now, Gladiator, this is my first time watching the first Gladiator. I had watched it, bits and pieces of it, like with my dad, with friends, but I never sat down and watched it from beginning to end till we decided to watch it for the podcast. I think I've done myself a disservice by not watching it sooner. A fantastic movie.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
You said this the other day when we were talking about Russell Crowe cannot do a bad movie.
No, I've literally never seen a bad Russell Crowe movie.
Me neither. I absolutely love Russell Crowe, and I love him as Maximus. I absolutely love the story of the first one. I love how it throws you right in the action of the movie. Like, as soon as the movie starts, you see him in a battle.
Yeah.
Like, you know this is going to be an action-packed, like, good time.
Yeah.
But tell me what you think about the first one.
All right, so it was a great movie. I really enjoyed it. Like, everything about this movie is great. Like, I don't think there's a single downside to this movie. Like, it's got great story. It's got funny moments. It's got great action, great fight scenes, and come out with some pretty good one-liners.
Absolutely. Are you not entertained?
Yeah.
Or whenever he says, take your mask off, and he turns around and he's like, I am the father to a murdered son, the husband to a murdered wife, like,
yeah,
and I will have my revenge. Such a quotable movie.
Yeah.
I think he's a bad dude. Like, he is whenever they took him out to execute him,
yeah,
like, he straight up was like, not today.
Yeah.
Like,
he rode 2 horses to death.
Right, yeah.
Trying to get to his family.
Oh, I love Russell Crowe. I think the scenes in this movie are beautiful. Like, there is some really, really good imagery. Like, especially like when he's going into the afterlife and he's running his hand.
Yeah.
Such a beautiful, like, scene. Like, a lot of the landscapes and everything this is shot in is just so...
Yeah, it's got good cinematography.
It's amazing. Like, right. And again, I told you I'm a sucker for that.
Yeah. All right. And this is like a early 2000s movie, so CGI... 2000. Yeah, 2000. So CGI is not that good at the time. So all the animals are real.
Yep. Real tigers.
Like. Real tigers.
That's my biggest complaint with part 2, but we'll get into that.
Yeah. All the animals are real.
His first fight, when they threw him in the first Coliseum to fight, was awesome. Like that's where we get the iconic line, are you not entertained? Like, I don't know what, like...
Yeah, he just run through him. Like,
yeah, like, you could tell he is the Roman general because these guys are light work. Like, he is...
Yeah, he, like, it seemed like he didn't even think about it. He just did it.
Right, like, and they were no kind of challenge for him.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then Proximus was like, you got to win the crowd.
Yeah, he's like, you got to win the crowd. And he's like,
running through these people isn't going to win the crowd.
Yeah, he basically said, hey, bro, slow down a little bit. Yeah. Like, take it easy on these guys. These guys came for a show.
Yeah.
that was a good scene. Yeah. I think, again, it has this movie has more symbols and metaphors. Like, okay, in the beginning of the movie, you see him walking in the lines of his army, and they're all saluting him and, like, doing the whole chest thing. They do the exact same thing after he wins fights from the arena. He's walking back, and all the gladiators are doing basically the same thing his army did. And that's like a symbol of, like, you know,
he's meant to lead.
Yeah, he is a leader. Like, and I think that's so cool because, like, it is just a mirror image of one another. That was perfect in this movie. Tom Flanagan. Yes, Tommy Flanagan. The guy who played Chibs in Sons of Anarchy. I did not know he was in this movie.
Oh, yeah. He's real young in that, ain't he?
He was really young, but you can always tell him by his scars. Those are real scars.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Joaquin Phoenix. I love Joaquin Phoenix. He played a very, very good bad guy.
Yeah, he did. That's something I have in my notes here. He's somebody I can hate.
Absolutely. And he makes you hate them. I love when a villain does villainous stuff that makes you hate them, and he does it. Like, bravo.
Yeah.
But he does it with all his roles. Joaquin Phoenix is a...
He's a really good actor.
He's a fantastic actor. I've never seen him... Like, I've seen him do bad movies, don't get me wrong. But I've never seen him do a role where he doesn't become that role.
Yeah, like the second Joker. That is not his fault that the movie flopped.
No.
This is just a bad script.
Right, and he became the character he was supposed to become.
Yeah.
Just like I watched Beau's Afraid. You ever seen that?
No.
Okay, it's trash. Absolutely terrible movie. You can watch the whole thing, and it will make you feel like you're on an acid trip. Mm. But that whole movie... Again, bad movie, but he's fantastic. He becomes he's a schizophrenic like kind of guy, and he becomes that. And I don't know, but he's just a fantastic actor. Like, I love him and everything. I do have here that the scene where he does reveal himself, probably my favorite scene.
Yeah,
because that's where we get that cold line.
Yeah,
he just turns around and you can see the expression on Joaquin Phoenix's face, like, oh man, I messed up.
Yeah,
like he's come all the way to Rome to mess me up.
Yeah,
like, and I just love how he knows he can't kill him because the crowd would hate him.
Yeah, it's all about who. That's the whole thing about the gladiator. It's all about who controls the crowd.
Yep, I absolutely love that. And Joaquin Phoenix just looks powerless.
Yeah,
it's great. I do have here too that the scene that I think also was just so cold was when the emperor was taunting Maximus. He's like, your wife cried like a whore whenever they were raping her.
Yeah.
And your son cried like he wanted to get a reaction out of him, but the fact that he gave him no reaction was scarier than whatever reaction he could have gave him. The fact that he just turned around and kept walking, that would have terrified me more than if he would have turned around and had like some kind of outburst.
Yeah.
Like, this man kept his cool and was like, I'm going to kill this guy.
Oh, God. I made him angry. He's going to do something.
And he knew it, too. Like, he knew when he didn't turn around. He's like, oh.
Yeah, like, even at the last fight. Now, try not to spoil number two, but what I will say about one of the things that I thought was better about the first Gladiator... then the second one was the final fight.
I agree.
The final fight was better to me in the first one.
We'll have to talk about that in spoilers, but
why
it was better, but I 100% agree. And there's a very specific reason why.
Yeah.
So,
what I was going to say was, like, when he's, when he goes down there to, after they capture him when he's trying to escape to get to his army, he goes down there to, like, we're going to fight in the arena. And Maximus gets so confused. He's like, you would fight me?
Because yeah, like, he knows that he would mess him
up. Yeah, he's like, he said,
you would fight me?
What, you think I'm scared of you? I think you've been scared your entire life. And then he just gives him a hug and stabs him in the lung.
And he's like, okay.
Oh, okay, okay.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And I might add, still messes him up.
Yeah.
Like, still just absolutely annihilates this guy.
Yeah. I remember the first time I watched this movie, and he's like out of his mind, and he knocks the sword out of his hand, and he's still like out of his mind, and he's like, "Somebody, give me a sword!"
That's the
commander says, "Put your swords away."
That was the funniest part of the movie. So, sword, and the commander's just like, "You ain't getting no sword here.
No,
you want to die?
No, you stabbed him in the lung. This is a fair fight."
He stabbed him in the lung, and then he ordered them to put his armor on. He's like, "Put his armor on, somebody sees the wound."
Yeah.
Like, douchebag. I didn't like the incest stuff.
Hmm?
I didn't like the incest stuff.
That is the whole point.
Yeah, I know. It's very, 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 like, heavily implied that Lucius is Maximus's son to the home movie.
Yeah, it is very heavily implied.
But it never confirms it.
Yeah. So, that is something else I wanted to talk about. Ridley Scott had said before Gladiator 2 come out that he had always wanted to, he was wanting to make a sequel that revealed Lucius to be his son.
Right.
Which I feel like came out at the perfect time.
Yep.
Like,
I will say Ridley Scott is amazing.
Yeah, he's
like, I've only ever seen one thing of his that I don't like. That was the Napoleon movie. But, it wasn't a bad movie. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
If you're a history buff, you would have loved that movie. But, other than, like, I'm so glad he came back for the sequel. Like, you can tell it. But when you watch the sequel, again, we're not in the sequel yet, but I just want to say about, like, you know. So I'm so glad Ridley Scott returned for the sequel, because even in the sequel, you can tell this is Ridley Scott's movie.
Yeah.
It's shot just like the first one and told like the first one, and I absolutely love that. I did find the only problem that I have with the first one is, he's, like, making out with this chick, like, right after his wife died.
Okay, so that is a problem I do have with the movie. They are traveling by horse.
Right.
And they're just cutting to them getting to a place.
I know it's probably been weeks or months.
It's been, like, more months. He had an infected wound. You don't just heal up right away after that. That probably took months of healing.
Right.
So, and who knows how long they was traveling on that caravan before they got to...
No, I get you where you're coming from with that, but it just didn't sit right with me.
Yeah.
His whole motivation is supposed to be that his wife was murdered.
Yeah, but again, like, who knows how long it took for him to get there to...
He's over it now.
Yeah. Like, I'd say by the end of this movie, maybe a year has passed by the end of it.
Yeah, I agree. That seems about right. I will say, too, that the ending of this movie, I think it has a perfect ending. I see no reason for a sequel. I see absolutely no reason for it. Don't get me wrong, I enjoyed the sequel. I loved it. It was a fun watch. And I'd watch another one.
Yeah.
But Maximus's story wrapped up so beautifully and so perfect with him dying at the end. Because, like, his final words was, "Lucius is safe," and then he dies. Like, he done whatever he wanted to do. He killed the Emperor. He made everyone safe. Like,
okay, so you're right. The sequel was unnecessary. However, the sequel is not about Maximus.
I agree. I know, but okay. Like, still, I just didn't find it necessary.
It wasn't necessary, but it is. Makes it no less unenjoyable.
Yeah, no, not at all. I'm not saying it takes away from the enjoyment of the movie at all. I'm just saying, like, if it would have been a one and done, I'd have been just as happy.
Oh, yeah. It was, like, always instant classic.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, again, I'm not knocking the sequel. I had such a fun time with it. And I will rewatch the sequel probably, like, a few more times. Like,
yeah.
Absolutely love it. All right. I'm done with the first one, 4.5 out of 5.
All right, so, yep, 5 out of 5. Well, no, I'm not done with it.
Oh,
so, I don't know if you noticed. Did you notice any CGI in the first one at all?
Not that I know off the top of my head, no.
Okay, so Proximus, right? He died halfway through making the movie. So, I think he died, like, after he died at some point in the movie, but his last scene in the movie is all CGI'd.
I did not know that. Oh, yeah. Spider-Man.
Yeah, like when the guards come up to his place and start knocking on the door and he comes up and frees him, like his face is CGI'd. Not knowing that, you wouldn't notice it.
Right.
But now that you do know that, when you go back to watch this movie, you can see it.
I did not know. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know, think they'd have that technology back then.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things that, a couple of CGI moments, like, I can notice.
Right.
Like, none of the tigers are fake. Right. Like, I will
they're
say.
All real, yeah.
Yeah, all the tigers are fake. However, you can tell in a couple of, like, frames, if you pause it, that they just mushed two scenes together.
Yeah.
But that's about it for it, though.
Well, I mean, I like whenever you can't tell it's CGI. Like, that means it's good CGI.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's great for me. Like, that in my opinion. But, we done with the first one?
Yeah.
Okay, so, Gladiator 2. Spoiler free, though.
All right. So, it's 5 out of 5 for this one, too. I really enjoyed this movie. It's got a lot of great fight scenes. Stories holds up on its own. It's great. If you haven't seen it yet, you should definitely go watch it. Really good movie. There are maybe a couple of things I would change about it, but other than that, it's a great movie.
Absolutely. I'll add to that. It has an all-star cast.
Yeah, great cast.
Everyone in this is a big actor.
Yeah.
And you can tell because they're great. Everyone plays their role perfectly. The story, like you said, it could be a standalone story, but the fact that it adds on to the first one is a big plus. Like, it's just great all around. The action, fantastic. It took the action from the first one, basically, and built upon it and made it so much more, like, entertaining, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, I did give it a 4 out of 5, but that's just because, well, we get into the spoilers. But I do have small nitpicks with it that, well, like I said, we'll get into spoilers. But all around, fantastic movie. It's one of my favorite movies of this year. Well, at the end of the year, we're going to do our top movies of the year.
Okay.
Like, so this is probably going to be up there. I really, really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal, amazing. Denzel, always amazing. It had Joseph Quinn from Stranger Things. He was fantastic. All around great movie. Definitely highly, highly recommend it.
Yep.
With that being said, I think we're going to jump into spoilers.
Yep. Spoilers ahead.
Spoilers ahead. Final warning.
Yep.
Spoilers.
All
right. Go for it, brother. What do you think about this movie?
It's a great movie. Kind of the same story, though. But what I have to say about that is it's a gladiator movie. It's about gladiators. That's how gladiators were made. Anything related to gladiators, you will see that their families was killed and they were sold into slavery. That's how they all become gladiators.
No, I agree. That is my biggest nitpick with the movie is that it's the beginning of it anyway is a copy of the first one. But I started looking at it this way. So it is revealed, like, Lucius is the main character, and it is revealed that Lucius is Maximus' son. It is confirmed in this one. I started looking at it as, Lucius is getting the same treatment as Maximus. He is going through the same exact events as Maximus. And
almost the same.
Almost the same. Well, I mean, pretty much the same. He's becoming a leader. His family was killed.
He was already sort of a leader. It's just, at the beginning of the movie, he was already opposed to Rome.
Yeah. All around, just it was great. But I like how, again, it was a mirror image of the Maximus's life, basically.
Yeah.
And he also sees that the guy who killed his wife, Pedro Pascal's character, come to find out he is a lot like Maximus. He is basically Maximus. Like, Maximus killed all these people that opposed him on Rome's orders just like Pedro Pascal's character did. Maximus was portrayed by the Emperor, just like Pedro Pascal's character. So,
well, no, Pedro Pascal was going to portray the Emperor.
Yeah, but
so was Maximus. Yeah. I mean,
if you think about it, yeah. But all I'm saying is, like, he is hell bent on revenge from Pedro Pascal. He wants his head, and when he finally, I know we're jumping around this movie, but when he finally meets him, I think it's because he sees his father in Pedro Pascal. Like, that's why he doesn't kill him. He throws his weapons down because he sees his father in this guy.
Yeah. That is something I liked about this movie. Like, it rotates antagonists.
Yes, absolutely.
The
beginning had me hating his character. The beginning had me hating Pedro Pascal.
Yeah. Like, and he really didn't even do anything wrong.
He was a good guy.
It was just war.
Yeah, you know? It was orders. He had to do it or he would have been killed.
Yeah. Like it was understandable.
Yeah.
And
again, he comes to understand that later on in the movie.
Yeah. He doesn't really understand it until it's time to fight him.
Yeah.
But
even then it's a little too late. But the best part of this whole movie is Denzel Washington.
Yeah, he's a pretty good part of this movie.
Absolutely love Denzel. We actually had someone tell us that, who was in the movie before us, that Denzel was not that good in this role.
Yeah, no. Screw that guy.
Yeah, you tell me one movie Denzel's bad in, and I'll call you a liar.
Yeah.
Hey, I've never seen a bad movie.
There is not a single bad movie with Denzel in it. Well, there's not a single movie that Denzel is bad in.
Absolutely not. He is awesome, and he's awesome in this movie. Like,
if there is a bad movie with Denzel in it, Denzel is the best part of that movie.
For sure. I also feel the same about Pedro Pascal. I haven't seen a lot with him bad with him in it. Again, I ain't seen a lot of his movies, though.
No, I ain't either. So. I didn't really learn about Pedro Pascal until The Mandalorian, though.
I knew a little bit, but I started following him a little bit. Well, yeah, during Mandalorian, but whenever he was Prince Oberyn in Game of Thrones. Because I watched Game of Thrones late. Like, I just started watching it a couple years ago. So when his character came in, I really liked his character, so I started following him a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, no, we'll save that for later. But, I was getting off topic with it.
Oh.
I was going to say I thought The Mandalorian was Timothy Oliphant the first season.
He did. There was Timothy Oliphant in the first season.
No, I thought The Mandalorian was Timothy Oliphant.
So he was in the first season.
No, he's in the second season.
He was the first season?
Second.
First.
Second.
First.
Second. All right, so.
I'm going to prove him wrong.
Google it.
I don't have my phone's the camera. No, hold on. We'll Google it after the podcast. We'll Google it after the podcast.
Yeah, because you know I'm right.
No, I'm. I'll post right here in the video who's right.
Yeah. I'll post it on TikTok because he's probably gonna lie. All
right. So.
Yeah. A lot more CGI in this.
Absolutely. The monkey fight.
Yeah, that was probably the worst CGI of the movie, but that was also probably one of my favorite fights.
Yeah, absolutely. That was my favorite part of the movie, besides Denzel being in the movie. Like, the actual fight scenes,
yeah.
The monkey fight was it.
Okay.
The monkey bit him, and he bit it back.
Yeah.
he said, I'll bite your back, yeah. Right?
Yeah, and then when he sat down in the chow hall, everybody just started looking at him going,
I thought he was in Planet of the Apes for a minute.
Yeah.
That was funny, because, like, he said, bite me, I'll bite
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and his commander that got his arm broke in the fight, he just gave up.
He did. He just laid down, this monkey took a bite out of his throat. Like,
yeah.
It was so dumb.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, the funniest thing ever. He just immediately got on this monkey's level.
Yeah, he just laid down on his knees.
He's never heard of don't sink to their level.
It's funny.
Like, he did everything to the monkey that the monkey did to him.
The boat scene in this, a lot of fun. The boat scenes and the rhino's fight.
Oh, yeah, the rhino fight was great. I love the rhino fight.
I do, too.
I thought it was cool how the rhino broke its horn and everything.
Yes, and, like, how he, like, threw the dust up. Yeah, that was...
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I didn't know this was Lucius.
What do you mean?
Like, how, like, until, like... I just thought it was another gladiator until, like, he made it to Rome and the mom started, like, looking at him. I was like, the moment I realized it was Lucius, I don't know why, because, like, it wasn't said in the first one, I don't think. But whenever he started repeating that poem to one of the emperors, that's when I realized it was Lucius. I was just kind of, because, like, I just kind of, like, thought about it for a minute. I was like, I don't think that's a normal gladiator. That has to be Lucius.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why I thought that, like, at that part, but that's...
Yeah, he kind of knew too much about Rome.
Yes. Like, and he, like, and Denzel completely, or immediately questioned him, was like, where'd you learn poetry?
Yeah.
And that kind of just sealed the deal for me.
Yeah.
Because he was
royalty. I'm pretty sure I thought for the whole, because... before I rewatched the first one, I watched the second one, you know, because, yeah, I just rewatched the second one before I rewatched the first one.
Right.
But, and I regret doing that because I couldn't remember so much. I thought I'd seen it recently enough to where I could remember, but I couldn't.
I do like how he wore Maximus's armor.
Yeah, at the end.
That was really cool. The final fight, let's talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Very anticlimactic.
It kind of was, but in a way, it was a lot more brutal to me.
Yeah, because he cut his freaking hand off. I laughed at that scene, because when he cut his hand off, Denzel, like, he dropped back, and the look on his face, he just couldn't believe the disrespect he had to put up with.
Yeah.
Like, he looked at him like, and fell back in the water.
Yeah,
it was so funny.
Yeah, I'm kind of... It kind of messed me up that Denzel had to be, like, the...
The bad, like, the big bad.
Yeah, but I also thought it was cool, like, how he just got this new gladiator and took Rome over.
For real. Like, and he told him, too. He's like, you will be my instrument. And he's like, I will not be your instrument.
Yeah.
He was, basically. The only problem I got... Like, there's another problem I got with the movie is... The fight did not feel as good to me, or not the fight, but the ending did not feel as good to me as the first one.
It kind of made sense for Denzel being mad, though.
No. I'm talking about, like, it felt more like, in the first one, I was more fulfilled. Like, I felt like it really fulfilled that ending. Like, it was a good ending. The sequel just felt like, I'm not saying he has to die. But I am saying that there was a bigger emphasis on Maximus's death that made it worth it. You know, that makes sense?
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, you knew, like, at the end of that movie, you knew Maximus wasn't going anywhere else.
Right.
Now you don't know what this next guy's going
to
do.
Exactly. And he's supposed to be the Prince of Rome or whatever.
Yeah. And he's just... And at the end of the movie, he's pretty much lost and in the center of the arena asking...
Mom, please talk to me. Or Maximus, talk to me.
Yeah. Which, it did kind of... It kind of relieved it a bit when it showed his hand going through the wreaths.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so he's connect... Like, it kind of made me think, like, okay, he's
connecting with his father, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought for a minute he died. And I was like, well, how do you have died?
Yeah.
But... I would watch another one. Would you watch another sequel?
Oh, absolutely. I went into this movie like fully expecting to give this a 3 out of 5.
I went expecting to give it a 2.5. I was thinking it's going to be an average movie at best.
I thought this was just going to be a cash grab.
100%. Because
a lot of movies that like have a sequel, like especially over 20 years after the first one, like it's usually just a cash grab because that movie's picked up traction,
especially with like legacy movies. Like it's a cult classic and they decide to expand upon it, and not only that, but they fill it with an all-star cast that screams cash grab.
Yeah.
So I was fully prepared to give it a 2.5. I understand that. I was so skeptical going into this.
Yeah, I did not expect this to be a good movie at all.
And it was. It was fantastic.
That's probably one of the reasons I gave it a 5 out of 5 was because it was so much. It completely exceeded my expectations about
Absolutely. It. Absolutely. I agree. Maybe that's why I'm a little higher on it because I thought I was going to give it a 3.5. I was debating on 3.5 or a 4. I think the reason I gave it a 4 is, again, like you said, it exceeded our expectations.
Yeah.
Like, and I was, if you go in with low expectations, you're going to be blown away.
All right.
I will say this too as well. The Emperors. What do you think about them?
The two Twinkies.
Yeah.
I did not like them. I was hoping so much.
Was one of them like slow?
Was that? I think he was like a little bit. He was definitely dumber than the other brother.
I think he had like a mental disability.
I'm not sure.
Because like they make a comment about like his disease that's taking over. He said that his disease that's in his brain is taking over his body too.
No, the disease in his loins is taking over his body. He's basically a disease in his loins probably means like he either had an STD or something or he couldn't have kids.
Right. I don't know. I think he had a mental disability, but the smart brother, Joseph Quinn, absolutely love that actor.
Yeah, he said something when Denzel went to talk to him. He said that his the dumb one said that his brother, when they was younger, tried to cut him.
He tried to cut my umbilical cord or something.
I think it said his pecker, he couldn't have any heirs.
Oh, I thought he said an umbilical cord.
I can't really remember.
Anyway, he said it was like while they were in the womb. And then Denzel says, oh, you can remember that, can you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked how they were bad. I thought they were good villains. Like, again, they weren't as good as Joaquin Phoenix, but they were good villains.
Oh, no, I disliked them a lot more than Joaquin Phoenix.
I dislike him.
Which is probably one of the reasons the end of this one wasn't as satisfying as the other one.
Because they didn't, like, meet the end by one of the gladiators.
They just didn't have a good end, you know?
Right. You want the good guy to kill them. Like, you want, like, Lucius to kill him or something.
Like.
But it ended up being Denzel.
Yeah. Like, it's just Denzel played him. And I like Denzel's character. I didn't want him to die.
Right. I will say Pedro Pascal probably had the worst death. Not worst death like in terms of like brutality, but worst death just why? You know what I mean? Like he just filled him full of arrows. Like he couldn't went out fighting or something. Like I get why he died that way, don't get me wrong. I get all that, but I'd have liked to have seen his character go out fighting. But instead they just shoot.
I think it really propelled the story and helped Lucius direct his anger better.
I can see that. I can see that.
Like he was after one man that was just following orders.
Right. And in that moment he realized he's not a bad guy. And he whenever he says I would have died for your father, like I think that helped his case a little bit too.
Yeah.
But I absolutely loved this movie. I thought it was great.
So, sorry. Are you about done talking about it?
I pretty much said everything I want to say about it, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to ask you some questions. Which one do you think had the better story? I'm going to see if we can agree on most things here.
Okay.
Better story.
First one.
Better fight scenes.
Second one.
All right. Antagonist.
First one. Wait. Antagonist is the bad guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, first one.
Cinematography.
First one.
Think the first one had better?
First one, hands down, had better cinematography.
Okay, that's the only one we don't agree on.
Really?
Yeah, I thought the second one had way better cinematography.
Really? Like in what?
It just had better landscapes, brighter colors, and all that.
It did have brighter colors, but I think we got more landscapes with the first one.
No, it mainly just showed the Colosseums.
The first one showed the Colosseum, it showed the desert, it showed the forts where he's being executed.
Yeah, but it didn't show, it didn't like have big pan outs of Like, it had, like, it showed a bunch of different places, but it also didn't pan out and just show you this place unless there was a Colosseum in it.
The first one's cinematography feels realer to me.
I'll give you that.
Okay, yeah. See, the second one seems like it's a little more CGI, but, I mean, it's still good. I'm not like, knocking it, but...
Like, when, in the second one, when they're first pulling into Rome on the boats.
That's a beautiful shot, yes. Yeah. But it looks fake to me.
That was a fair point.
Yeah, same. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking you for thinking the second one's better, too, because I love the second one, and it has beautiful shots, yeah. too. These movies are both beautifully shot, and that is a perfect example of why Ridley Scott should have returned.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott is just the guy. Every interview I've ever seen about, like, crews working with him, saying he's very hands-on, he's very helpful, he's very involved in the movie, and that's why he is one of the biggest names in, like, directing and producing, because he does that. Like,
yeah.
You don't, like, there are hundreds of directors that you never will hear about because they won't make a name for themselves because they're not hands-on with their projects. But you'll hear about, like, Michael Bay. You'll hear about Chris Nolan. You'll hear about Ridley Scott. Like, all because they're hands-on with their projects. And
yeah.
And it shows in their movies. They're all labors of love.
Yeah. Yeah.
But...
All right. I think that's all I have for
that's
those.
All that's all I got all right. for it too.
So,
definitely go watch it. It was a great movie.
Great movie. Definitely check it out. Next week we will. It's a possibility. Don't hold us to it, but we might go watch Wicked. We're gonna try to review Wicked. We got a busy schedule this week. A lot of holidays and stuff like that, but
neither of us really want to watch Wicked.
Yeah. But next week we will be reviewing Nocturnal Animals, Brewster's Millions, and for sure Moana 2.
Not Brewster's Millions.
Not Brewster's.
I said Six Underground instead.
Six Underground.
Oh, I told you that.
Yeah, you should have told me before I wrote it down.
My bad. Nocturnal Animals, Moana, Six Underground, and Dear Santa.
Dear Santa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those four. And I'm making him watch all Michael Bay. We're about to review all seven of the Transformer movies.
All right. Just wait until next week when you got to watch Batman Returns.
I hate those movies. I won't say I hate them. I don't hate those Batman movies. I don't hate them. I just hate the Batman. Jack Nicholson and Danny DeVito are the best parts of those Batman movies.
I will gut you on camera. And they will be entertained.
Only because I'm right. Sit down. Hold on, hold on. Before we go, so...
Comment, chair or sword?
Chair or sword? His sword broke, so it's a chair. Like, subscribe. Hey, no. Not on camera. No, but like, subscribe, and tune in next week for the
See you later.
Later.